finish. Thank you, Jean, for playing that. All about God's glory this year. I want to start by saying welcome back to those of you who have been here before, and welcome home, actually, to new ones who have signed up. We've got lots of new people this year, so if you see somebody you don't know, introduce yourself, and don't be embarrassed when they say, well, I've been in Lamplighters for 20 years, because you may not have been in the same small group, so, and that's okay. I want to introduce the team behind the scenes that keeps things going. That would be Lynn Adams. Raise your hand, Lynn. She's in the back. And Shannon Nicely. Now, truth be told, if you need to know something, ask Shannon. Because Shannon is the one who really knows what's going on around here. But anyway, if you have not registered, you can register on our website, which is www.lamplightersbiblestudy.com. Get familiar with that website, because that's where the lessons are posted. That's where the lecture talks will be posted. That's where the slides will be posted. That's where everything good and glorious gets posted. So www.lamplightersbiblestudy.com. And I want to say a big shout out to Susan Antonowitz. Is she here? No. Darn. Okay. Well, Susan has for years and years volunteered to do our name tags, and she's very creative and very clever in what she does. She retired this year from doing our name tags, so if you see her, be sure and thank her. The second half of that announcement is now the B team is in charge of name tags. So they will not be as cute and clever as what Susan did for us. But if you are new and you need a name tag, there's a list out front. Please print your name. Print your name, preferably in all caps for the B team to be able to discern and read. And we will get a name tag to you as soon as we possibly can. And if you are a longtime member and you have lost your name tag, I'm not supposed to say shame on you, okay, because they do wear out sometimes. If you need a new name tag, put your name on that list and we will get you a new name tag. You're probably wondering about small group assignments. We are too. You might pray when you leave here, because we'll be putting the small groups together today and tomorrow, and it'll take a while. But you should hear from your small group leader either Monday or Tuesday of next week. So you should hear early next week. Next Wednesday, we'll have a little fun thing in here, and then most of the time next Wednesday is going to be spent in your small groups getting to know each other. So you will know that by Monday or Tuesday. Reminder, yeah. I have been asked to encourage y'all to get here at 9:15. You can have fellowship, you can talk, you can have coffee, you can get settled in to your favorite spot so nobody else will get your pew seat in here. And it actually is a blessing for the whole morning. The fellowship time, the time in here initially with the teaching time, and then in your small group. And it really is a whole picture. So I would encourage y'all to do that. Okay, I'm going to read something. This is great. This comes from the Methodist hymnal. I know we've got some Methodists out there, so you should appreciate this, right? Directions for singing. As Suzanne McFarlane walks in the door. Yeah. Okay, learn these tunes before you learn any others. Afterwards, learn as many as you please. Sing them exactly. If you've learned to sing them otherwise, unlearn it as soon as you can. Sing all. Do not let the tiniest degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it's a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. Here's the best one. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. This comes from a hymnal, John Wesley's hymnal in 1761. Things haven't changed much. I read that because the hymn, most of us think of it just as a gathering time and a time to keep chatting and whatnot, but the hymns, particularly this year, are picked to go with the lesson, and they have really good theology in them if you pay attention. We're going to be singing some worship songs and praise songs this year in addition to standard hymns. Some of us like them, some of us don't. It's okay. We all need to learn to do something new, But if you're one of those that just is hesitant about that, pay attention to the theology in the worship song, because it will really bless you. If you go to the contemporary service, you're going to know those, and the hymns will be like a drag to you. Pay attention to the theology in the hymns, and we will all sing lustily right here and with great courage, right? Okay, we're going to do story time back by popular demand this year, and where's Lorraine? Lorraine is going to come and talk about it. And I will stand close to you so you can speak into my mic. How's that? Actually, I can take this off and give it to you. What? Oh.
Hello?
Yeah. We're so high tech. We have two mics.
Thank you.
I'm going to stand over here.
Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." Well, every year here at Lamplighters, we have the opportunity to know and believe God more. And what a wonderful year lies ahead of us to know and believe him more. We also have the opportunity to be his witnesses. We're his witnesses by coming, by our presence, by our prayers, by our preparation, and by sharing our stories, both in our small groups and in this large group. So if you're new to Lamplighters this year, just know that after our announcements, we have someone share a story, a God story, how God's touched their lives, worked in their lives. Just a short story, 3 to 5 minutes, and then we go on. But it's a very powerful way that God speaks to us and touches our lives. So I want to share a little story with you today, and that it started, well, last summer. I got a phone call when I was in HEB, and it was my dear friend, Carolyn Henson. She said, "Lorraine," she said, "the Lord has been so good to me. He has just answered so many prayers and worked so many things out that I just want to praise him and share with everyone." And I said, "That's so great, Carolyn. I would love that." Well, she was in very frail health, so it took quite a while for her to be able to come to Lamplighters. But she came, and then she was able to give her story on February 27th. And she was just singing God's praises and talking about, through all her difficulties, how she had the joy of his presence with her and how she had the joy of forgiveness. And she just talked about the Bible study and how wonderful it was to be able to delve deep into the Word with other Christian women. So she was praising God, and it was a beautiful testimony. Well, a few weeks after that, she called me again, and she said, "Lorraine, I just feel like I need to say more. I have more I want to share." And I said, "Well, Carolyn," I said, "let me check the schedule." I said, "I have one slot left. It's the very last week of our Bible study." And she said, "Okay." So sure enough, she made it here, which was quite an effort on her part, and I'm sure God helped her with all of that. And she stood, if you were here the last time we met, you'll remember, she stood with her walker and the help of a friend, and she talked about how she'd had a bad fall, but that God had given her such peace in it, and she knew it was from the grounding that she had had in this Bible study. She wanted to praise God, and she wanted to thank, in particular, the women who worked so hard to make this Bible study happen and shared their knowledge and their wisdom with us. And so, of course, it was the perfect way to end our year. Well, the first week of June, I got a phone call that Carolyn was really failing in her health. So I went to see her when she came home from the hospital, but by the time I got to her living room, there were already friends and family gathered around, and her eyes were closed, but I went ahead and went up to her and just told her how much she'd meant to me. And she'd been in my small group. And I, you know, just started to leave after that. And then a woman came up to me, and she introduced herself as her niece. And she said, "May I ask how you knew Carolyn?" I said, "Oh, we were in the same Bible study together." And she said, "Oh, yes, yeah, she had told me about that." And I said, "She was such a blessing to me. She came every week so well prepared, so eager to know God more, and she just had the light and love of Christ about her." And I said, "She was able to come 2 times in the spring and share with our entire group about how God had blessed her and helped her through all her difficulties." Well, her niece just got tears in her eyes and running down her face. She said, "Thank you for telling me that." And I could tell God had used that story to comfort her. So my word to all of you is you'll never know how, when you share a story of how God's touched your life, you just don't know how it's going to touch the lives of someone else. So please, in your small groups, practice sharing with one another. And if you feel the nudge to share with our group, pray about it and please consider it, because we would love to hear from you. It's such a joy and a blessing to hear from someone every week. And I am the sign-up lady. I have this pink sheet, and I want you to know 2 people have already signed up. So you better be thinking about it and praying about it and signing up soon while there's still slots left. Thank you.
Okay, I have one short story before we get into the exercise of the morning. And that is, I was speechless last spring, and I am still speechless. I was telling somebody earlier today, this Bible study started about 33 years ago with a group of women who came out of Bible study fellowship and graduated and actually did what they were told to do, which is go to their church and start a Bible study. And from the very beginning, this has been God's Bible study, not ours. And he has been faithful for those 33 years. But when you are leading in it and doing all the things that we do every week, sometimes you kind of lose perspective on what's really going on. And it's easy to not see it. The small group leaders see it because they're with you every week. But those of us who don't get to be with you every week kind of lose perspective. And I will tell you, I had lost perspective last year. And the Holy Spirit poked Sarah Crawford. And Sarah, in her lovely, beautiful way, was obedient to that poking. And she set about with this little project of putting together a book for us. This is the cover, which Sarah painted, and very graciously, although she made me the shortest one, which I don't think I'm shorter than Shannon, but I might be, and she gave me brown hair, which is really nice. It's called Lamplighters Is the Voices of the Flock. These are y'all's voices. And it was such an encouragement to us and such a joy to see what God had been doing in you all these years that we hadn't gotten to see. That when they gave us this book, the three of us just went, literally, we were speechless. I cannot thank you enough. Thanks to Sarah, who's not sitting at her usual table. There she is. Thanks to Sarah, and thanks to all of you for participating. It's not about us. It really is about what God has done in this little flock through the years. So I have this for you to look at if you wear white gloves and do it right here. And don't take it away. Sarah also says she has a couple of extra that she'll bring next week. If you want to see, because this was a year ago for you guys, if you'd like to see the product of what the Lord brought out of that. So, thank you. Okay. Shifting gears. We're going to have a participatory exercise right now. Okay, so this means that you guys are going to do this. I'm going to ask you a question. Lynn is going to scribe your answers. Here, let's move this. Lynn's going to scribe your answers there, and Shannon is going to scribe them so that they can go up on the website later. All right? This is probably the second most important thing you will do this year. It may be the first, but it's definitely the second most important thing you'll do this year. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to pop out what first comes to your mind. Don't edit it. Don't scroll through thinking of the Christian answer. Don't say, oh my gosh, I couldn't say that. Just what first pops to your mind? We're going to share, okay? So you say it. I'm going to repeat it so it'll actually be recorded. And then we'll put this up here. Okay, you ready? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say God? Father. Holy. Almighty, merciful, Jesus, faithful, Wait. What? Louder. Lord. Shepherd. Son. Savior. Friend. Are you catching up?
No.
Savior. Friend.
Got it. I'm in here. Keep yelling them out.
Yeah. Powerful.
Faithful.
I heard that one. Faithful.
Honored.
What?
Honored.
Love.
Shepherd.
Grace. Mercy.
Redeemer.
Peace.
Creator.
Precious. Oh, precious. I love that one. Precious.
Relational.
Forgiving. Yes, that's a good one. These are all good.
Creator.
Comforter.
Healer.
Everybody's nodding their head. Yes.
Who'd I miss? Say it again.
Shepherd. We've gotten shepherd a couple of times. Yeah, don't worry about spelling. It's okay.
That's right.
Or reading. did we have all powerful?
Nope.
We had powerful. How about all knowing? Sovereign.
Infinite.
Bless you. The Alpha and the Omega. Love that title.
Righteous.
How about?
Just.
Eternal. Ooh, eternal, of course.
All knowing.
Oh, we got that one. How about king?
Good.
What? Omnipotent. All powerful. We got that. We're just powerful up there, you know.
Omnipresent. Sorry about your view.
Wise. Love. How about bread of life? What?
Hope.
Rock. Do we put sovereign?
Yes.
We have sovereign?
Yes.
Okay. Rock. Do we put rock? Father. We've got father. Okay. Short. This list could go on for a really long time. Whatever word popped to your mind, I want you to write that down, okay? Write it down where you can get to it next week for sure, but through the year, okay? Because we are definitely going to come back to that. There we go. All right, got it written down? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have set aside this time and this place and these people for your holy purposes. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who is the exact replica of you. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who reveals you to us. And thank you that you reveal yourself to us, because we would not know you otherwise. Father, thank you for the joy that we experience in your presence. And we pray that as we go through this year, we will come to know you better and better. Not know about you, but know you in a living, vibrant, deep, intimate relationship. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And through the power of your Spirit, amen. Okay, there's the outline. We've already done the beginning exercise, okay? Now we're down to how we got here. We're doing something a little bit different this year. I know some of you have heard that. And some of you have asked me why we are doing that. And so I thought maybe that we thought you'd like to know how we got where we are, all right? We usually know in November kind of what the next year's study is going to be. That's been our pattern for 30 plus years. Last November, we didn't know. And Lynn and I were praying about it. Shannon was praying about it. We asked the leaders to pray about it. And we kept thinking, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. We didn't get it. So about the end of February, which we weren't getting it, doing the things we had always done before, right? We decided maybe we should do something a little different. And so we decided to have a listening prayer with all of the leaders who could come. Now, if you are not familiar with that, it is a spiritual practice that involves presenting a question or an issue, a need for wisdom, to the Lord, and then listening. Listening. That's harder than it sounds, actually. So we all got together and we presented the Lord with this question, which is, what do you want? You know what the women need. What do you want us to study for next year? So right there, we were launched out into unknown territory, right? The first time we asked that question, we got sort of broad responses, a lot of books, but there wasn't anything consistent about it. So we asked the question a second time, and what we got was images. And we thought, well, that's interesting. So we asked the question a third time, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And what we got was the pattern in those images. And it became very obvious that God wanted us to know him, not know about him. And there is a big difference. So then we were presented with the problem of, okay, how do we go about doing that, right? So that's what we're going to be doing this year. We're going to be exploring the God that we say we believe in. So we're going to be focusing on his attributes. A.W. Tozer, who you will hear his name a lot this year because he's kind of the go-to guy for God's attributes, he has an image. He likens God's face to the moon. Let's see if I put it up there. Likens God's face to the moon. The moon, as you know, has always one side turned toward us. And God has a face that he turns toward us. He reveals that face in a variety of ways, through creation, through his word, through his actions, and ultimately through his son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3 tells us, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. It is Jesus Christ that most fully reveals God to us. And if God didn't turn his face toward us, we wouldn't know him. He has to reveal himself in order for us to know him, right? Okay, so, but you remember the moon has only one side turned toward us. There's a backside. And we have to always remember there's a backside to God too. It's the side he turns away from us. It's the mysterious, the unknowable side, the side that God chooses to remain hidden from us. It's unknowable to us, okay? So we can't know that side, but we can know the side that he turns toward us. Now, I was thinking about that this year, thinking, oh my gosh, look at that moon. Isn't it fabulous? Sometimes we have a super moon, and it's just, it's wonderful. And so I was thinking about that, and then realized that all the coverage of the Apollo 11 moonshot this summer, I don't know, how many of y'all watched that? Did you watch? I was glued. Now, I remember when it happened the first time. I knew how it ended, but I got so excited and anxious watching all of this coverage that I thought, you know what? This is really an analogy for what we're going to do this coming year. And that is, we're going to go to the moon. We can learn a lot about the moon by studying it from a distance, from a safe distance. We can see craters. We can see all those little, you know, we can see the color changes. We can watch an eclipse coming. But we're at a safe distance here on Earth when we do that. And when we study God like that, we turn him into an object. So going to the moon means that we're going to shoot out of our comfortable orbit. We're going to do some different things this year. And we're going to get face to face with this God who is very, very personal, okay? Now, this year is more about exploring than studying. If you can keep that image in your mind, we're exploring who God is. It's more about a direction not a destination, as Thomas said in his lecture, his sermon a couple of weeks ago. It's a direction, not a destination. And if you're like me, when we first started this process, this feels a little uncomfortable to you. We like to keep God at a safe distance. If you are feeling like I did, which is a little uncomfortable and a little uncertain, and that this is a little risky because we haven't ever done it before, and you never know when you let the Holy Spirit loose what he's going to do, and we're not in control of God, right? I encourage you to lean into that. Lean into that. Because God wants an intimate relationship with you, and he is a personal God. So if you're feeling uncomfortable, great. Step into it. Don't step away from it. All right? Now, full disclosure, this will not be a surprise to any of you who know me, but to those of you who are new, I will just tell you that I am a head person. I like concepts. I like thoughts. I like new ideas. I like scooping up knowledge like a vacuum cleaner. I really like that. My spiritual gifts bend me that direction. Okay? I'm a linear thinker. I make a great Presbyterian, because I like everything decently in an order, right? I am not naturally an introspective person. And God has been teaching me that over the last several years, right? So I am alternately thrilled and horrified by this opportunity in front of us, okay? So if you're feeling that way, come and talk to me. We can hold hands. Again, A.W. Tozer has a wise word to say to us about that. He says we need to quit thinking like scientists up here in your head, and we need to start thinking like psalmists. Psalmists in our heart. Get out of our heads and into our hearts. How do you describe God, who is indescribable, right? Like the psalmists do, with poetry and with metaphor, with visual images and with song. It's heart language. It's heart language. Some of us have better heart vocabularies than others. We're going to all learn better heart vocabularies this year. It's more like wooing. Anybody ever get a love letter? You still remember it, don't you? I mean, they don't do that anymore. I don't know if they send love texts or whatever, but love letters. The language in there is focused, is captivated, is driven toward the who, right? The loved one. It doesn't care about what and how. It cares about who. That's the language, the love letter language that we're going to use this year. Okay, now, you with me? Good. Shift gears. We're going to shift gears. The lessons this year are designed in such a way as to foster this exploration and this encounter in mind. It's created to draw you in. View each of them as an invitation to sit with our Lord, to sit with, to listen, to discover new insights, new aspects of your relationship, to ask all of those questions you've been meaning to ask and never did. You write them down. You experience God in a deeper, fuller, and more personal way. The more we know God, the more we will love him. The more we will worship and serve him. And the more we will know who he created us to be when we really know him. Now, this week, they were running when you came in. I don't know if you noticed, but we had weekly scripture meditation verses. Somebody said memorization verses. I went, not so much for me, but meditation verses. And those of us who did that are those of you who are naturally introspective, kind of have a head start in this process, right? Those verses encouraged us to develop the practice of going deep into one scripture and listening carefully to what the Holy Spirit said. Because we meditated on one verse all week long. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit has something to say a lot. It wasn't just one word. It was every day I got something new from that when I was listening, So that is a habit that we're going to develop this year, is listening, okay? This year is a thematic study. We've never done one of these before. We've always picked a book and gone deep into the book. But this year, what we're doing is we're taking a theme and we're going to get a broader, fuller scope of God. So it's sort of looking at Scripture from the 30,000 foot level, as opposed to right down with our noses in it. Okay, we're going to look at the entire grand narrative of God's story from Genesis to Revelation. Now, that sounds a little big, frankly. And when we sat down to think, what in the world, Lord, do you want us to do? What he gave us was bite-sized chunks. And we picked an attribute, one at a time, and we followed the thread of that attribute through the Old Testament, which is a scripture, usually a story, through the Psalms, through the life of Jesus, and into the epistles, which tended to be actually the application for those of you who are familiar with that. So we went from the beginning to the end because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So he doesn't change. And you'll find that thread in these lessons. Don't worry about what I'm saying because we're going to do one after halftime. Don't leave at halftime. I will tell you that when Lynn and I, well, I can't speak for Lynn. I will tell you that when we sat down to start this process of trying to put these lessons together, we did it with great fear and trembling. Because how do you study God, right? So we prayed. The first lesson took us about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And Lynn and I went, oh my gosh, this is going to take all summer. What are we going to do? But the more we explored God's attributes, the more excited we got, to the extent that we couldn't quit. It was hard to restrict ourselves to 4 scripture verses per lesson. It was really hard to stop with the attributes. We actually even added an extra one because we just couldn't let it go. God is addictive in the best sort of way. And that is my prayer, is that we all discover that, not about him, but himself this year. All right. Switch gears again. We don't normally do this for you news people. It usually flows a little better, but we got a lot of stuff today. Definitions. I'm going to make some general comments about God's attributes. An attribute, which is not a word that I use a lot, is a quality or a feature that is characteristic of and inherent to someone or something, in this case, God. It's a characteristic that is essential to the nature of God. It's what defines him, if you think God can be defined, right? It's how we know him. He shows himself to us in these attributes. Now, you will discover as we're going through this year that some of the attributes of God feel like hot chocolate on a cold winter day in front of a roaring fire, and you just want to snuggle in and just enjoy every moment of it. You will relish it. You will roll in it. The lesson we're going to do today is one of those. You will also discover that some of the attributes of God are very inconvenient. We don't like them. We don't want to talk about them. We don't know what to do with them. And frankly, we would rather have a Bible that didn't have them in there. So, of course, we're going to look at some of those this year too, right? You will also discover as you're going through that all of these attributes are intertwined. You cannot separate them. Like, we ran into it up here. You know, somebody would say something, it would remind them of something else. Justice, righteousness, you know. Grace, forgiveness. They're all woven together. You can't pick them apart. So even though we are focusing on one attribute per lesson, you will find yourself thinking of other attributes. And because we only could have 4 scripture verses, you will find yourself thinking of other scripture verses. Great. Write them down. There's a place for that. You're going to be excited about that. There are lots and lots. There's probably a vast number of God's characteristics, but they were only 22 lessons. So we've probably left one of your favorites out. We apologize in advance for that. But as you're going through, there will be a place for you to put those attributes that mean so much to you, because they're all woven together, right? You can't pick them apart. We're anticipating great, rich sharing. This year, above all years, we need each other to do these. And it's very exciting what happens when the community of Christ comes together and takes a look. All right, a couple of other definitions we need to understand in order to proceed. And this communicable and non-communicable. All right, now that's a mouthful. It kind of blubs around on your tongue and it's a little awkward. Sounds like a disease, you know. And in fact, it's kind of like that a little bit. You can use transferable, non-transferable, or transmittable, non-transmittable, whatever you want, whatever you prefer. But it's important to know which one you're talking about. That's why we go over that. The idea is this, is that some of God's attributes are unique to Him alone. They belong to Him. They don't belong to us. We will never have them. He will not give them to us. We cannot acquire them by any effort on our own part. In fact, when we do, we sin big time. Those are the non-communicable ones, the ones that belong uniquely to God. But some of God's attributes are communicable. He wants to give us those. He wants to develop those characteristics in us, in His children, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's part of being transformed to be more like Christ when He works those characters and those characteristics and those qualities into us. Okay, so for example, there it is. Only God is the ones on the left. And God is and we can be the ones on the right. And this is not an exhaustive list. But when you're going through your lessons, it really helps you to know which column you're working with. Okay? All right, I'm going to leave that up for a little bit. You don't have to write those down. I'm not giving it away, but you don't have to write those down. Okay, then we come to my favorite part, which y'all always know is my favorite part, and that's the why. Why? Why study the attributes of God besides the fact that He actually told us to, okay? It's an unusual thing to do. I can't tell you how many people over the summer, when they asked what we were doing, I said, well, we're studying the attributes of God. And they all said, we've never done that. We don't know how you do that. I've never even heard of that. It's a little unusual. So we are all exploring something a little unusual this year. But I want to go back to this exercise at the beginning. This one right here. And all of the ones that you thought of but that you didn't say. Which is why it was important for you to write yours down, okay? Tozer, again, says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It is the most important thing about us. Because our primary image of God affects how we approach God, or if we approach God. So it's important to know the foundation that you're starting from. And you know what? Because we're all broken, we all have a somewhat distorted view of God. So this year is about learning who He really is. This list, any list, cannot begin to capture who God really is, right? But this is the God that we love and worship and serve, okay? And it is this God who wants to get up close and personal with each and every one of us. So this is, I know somebody's going, yeah. Okay, we're going to quit talking about this now, and we're actually going to do a lesson, which is going to be so fun for all of us. Let's take a 10-minute break. So at 10:25, come back in here, and we are going to hand out that lesson, and you each get a party favor, okay? Don't worry. You're seeing it cold for the first time today. I realize that's not the best way to do one, but we're going to all do it together, and you're going to have a ton of fun. So I will see you in, what did I say, 10 minutes? 10 minutes. Perfect.